This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, we are almost there. Hold on for one more day. That was a great song. I think it was an 80s song. Either way, hold on for one more day. We're almost to the end of the week, and we have a huge show for you tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. Although I am a touch upset, I'm going to try to get that out right in the opening here. There was something Trump said again today. I'm going to try to get it out of my system. Once I get it out of my system, we will bounce around to so many other things. We're going to talk about emails, astronauts, people blowing SNAP funding, people not buying homes. A bunch of people got fired in the wake of Charlie Kirk's murder, and the media's mad about it. Our court system being a ratchet. All that. And so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. In fact, Chris, now that I think of it, probably should have done this before the show. Grab that Trump line from Laura Ingraham where he was talking about the H-1Bs and the foreigners and things like that. And I want to say, as Chris digs that up, I want to say something. We've talked before about how you are a political person. I'm a political person, so we're going to vote in a different way than the normies. And you know that you're different. I'm different. We're not the norm. We're not the majority. We're the hyper-political people. I got that. But you know when I knew Democrats were in serious, serious trouble before the last election, when I knew they were in serious trouble? I hung out, you know, I hang out with normal people. I don't live in D.C. I don't live in New York City. I do not hang out with other radio hosts or politicians or lobbyists or anything like that. I hang out with normal people who do normal things. Many of them are close to my age, which is obvious. People usually hang out with people close to their age. So I'm 44. Most of the people I hang out with have children. And the frustration and fear they had for the jobs market for their children was palpable. The frustrations they would talk about, and some of their kids are just dynamite students. You know, they would talk about, he graduated, he's put out 1,500 resumes, he can't get a return phone call, he's going to move back into the home. This is not one neighbor. This is the majority of my friend circle. My daughter can't find anything. My son can't find anything. She's moving back home. He's trying to find a job. She's waiting tables. It was everywhere in my friend circle. Americans were doing everything, quote, the right way. Graduating. Sometimes it was high school, trade school. Now, the trade school guys obviously fared better, but the ones went on, went to college, graduated, good degrees. We're not talking basket weaving or any black studies. We're talking good degrees. And they couldn't find anything. And they were so mad, and they were assigning blame. Every day there was a news story about how many foreigners Joe Biden was coming in. And that night they're talking to Aiden, Jaden, and Braden. And Aiden, Jaden, and Braden can't find a job. And they're, as parents, not political people, as parents, they were furious. Furious. I knew Democrats were in serious trouble going into that election because of the parent factor, the kitchen table factor. Now, you remember, I think it was earlier this week, when Trump sat down with Laura Ingraham and said this.
H-1B visa thing will not be a big priority for your administration, because if you want to raise wages for American workers, you can't flood the country with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands
agree,
of foreign
but
workers.
You also do have to bring in talent. When
You don't have certain talents
and people have to learn. You can't take people off an unemployment line and say, I'm going to put you into a factory where we're going to make missiles.
H-1Bs are not highly skilled people. And everyone knows this now. That's O-1s. That's an O-1 visa. That's a totally different thing. H-1Bs are low-skilled, entry-level. Do you know what normies heard when Donald Trump said, hey, Aiden, Jaden, and Braden, he doesn't have it. We got to go get some Indians. Do you know how that landed? Not well. I'll tell you that much. Not well. Those same normie friends of mine are upset. Okay, one bad interview. The White House clearly heard the backlash from you, from me, from the normies. Surely he's going to drop that line, right? Because parents don't want to hear that. People struggling to find work, they don't want to hear that. That's a really bad line. You Americans are too dumb. We got to go bring in some more foreigners. Bad line. All right. You had a bad moment. It happens. This was Trump today.
To bring people to get those plants opened, we want you to do that, and we want those people to teach our people how to make computer chips and how to make other things. You can't come in, and I'm explaining, you can't come in, open up a massive computer chip factory for billions and billions of dollars like is being done in Arizona, and think you're going to hire people off an unemployment line to run it. They're going to have to bring thousands of people with them, and I'm going to welcome those people. Now, I love my conservative friends. I love MAGA, but this is MAGA. And those people are going to teach our people how to make computer chips, and in a short period of time, our people are going to be doing great, and those people can go home where they probably always want to be. You know, when people are born someplace, they tend to want to go, and we have the greatest country in the world, but they want to go. And
what? Aiden, Jaden, and Braden can't be taught how to make chips? That's basic company training. Aiden, Jaden, and Braden can't run a forklift? Can't be taught how to push buttons on a machine? That's ridiculous. And not only is it ridiculous, it's political suicide. The coalition that elected Donald Trump is large, and there are all different parts of the coalition with different motivations. There's no question about that. But the Stop This Immigration coalition is probably the biggest part of it. And the only other part of the coalition that can compare is the I need a job, I'm not making ends meet coalition. And these kinds of statements managed to offend both of them. We have a midterm election coming in 2026, less than a year. The United States of America will go to the polls and decide who they want to run the House of Representatives and one-third of the Senate. If Democrats get enough votes in the House of Representatives, they're going to impeach Donald Trump every 15 minutes for fun. They've already announced it. They won't even have a choice. Their base will demand it. And if the next year is Donald Trump telling Americans they're too stupid to make chips, we have to have low-skilled people from India by the thousand come in and teach us poor, dumb American oafs how to make things, we are going to get slaughtered in 2026. It's going to be you and me on election night crying in our beer, wondering what went wrong. Even if he believes it, you don't say it. You don't say it. I've had to have this conversation with my son, my youngest son, super picky eater. Doesn't always like the fact that Bob can make some healthier meals. Sometimes he doesn't want chicken and rice. Sometimes he says it. I've had to pull him aside. When your mother makes dinner for you, you show gratitude, one, and if you don't like it, shut your friggin' mouth. Eat and be quiet. You don't have to voice every single thought that comes into your head. Donald Trump is in the White House because of affordability, because of the economy, the jobs market, and immigration. Every single poll showed it. That's what he ran on. That's what put him in the White House. Please stop telling Americans they're too stupid to learn how to make chips. I don't know who is currently advising the White House. Maybe this is just Trump's thing. He's his own man. Maybe it's business leaders around him. I don't know who is currently saying this, but please, please.
In the name of a just, merciful God.
Stop telling Americans they're too dumb. We need more foreigners. Do you know what that sounds like to my normie neighbors who have their college graduate sons living in their basement? It doesn't sound good. I'm going to move on. I'm going to attempt to move on. I told you I just had to get that off my chest. Please stop saying this. Okay? Okay. Here we go. Whew. Just had to get that out. I'm better now, Chris. I told you I'm better now. A little bit upset. Now we're good to go. Have you gotten your Byrna compact launcher yet, by the way? Speaking of American, did you know over 80% of the components in the compact launcher, they're sourced in the United States of America, and Byrna's going for 100%? They have decided they want 100% American. And by the way, these things are assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Americans. I love Byrna. Byrna will save your life. Byrna is legal in all 50 states, even these kooky gun-grabbing Democrat states. You can go to BYRNA, Byrna.com/Jesse. Buy one, no permit required, and they'll send it to your front door, and it will save your life or the life of your daughter or your son. It has already saved lives of my listeners. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. I'm fine. I'm going to move past it here in a moment. I do want to remind you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, so you need to get all your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All 3 hours belong to you tomorrow. We will have a good time, as we always do, answering questions, riffing on things. Yeah, look, I already said the messaging needs to change. We have to stop with this line about how we have to bring in more foreigners. Let's stick with this kind of messaging. This is the kind of messaging that gives people hope, that makes people think this administration is correctly prioritizing them.
The president uses the number 20 trillion in terms of total investments. And you know, I think that those commitments that are real. And it, whether it's corporate investment, whether it's the Japanese trade deal where they're going to put in $550 billion, that whether it's the Korean trade deal with $350 billion, whether it's, you know, Apple saying that they're going to reshore, I believe that they may be up to $500 billion. So, you know, it's investments like we've never seen. And Britt, just to put that in.
Okay, good. That's inspirational. Good. There's money coming in. You know what that says to Americans? You might not have a job today. You might not be making ends meet today. It's going to get better. We're building things up. That's good messaging. This is good messaging.
So the non-farm payrolls number coming in at 119,000. 119,000. Wow. The estimate was 50,000. Private sector jobs coming in at 97,000. The estimate was 50. Factory jobs, we saw a loss of 6,000. Government jobs, a gain of 22,000. Average work week, all private workers, 34.2 hours. Average hourly earnings annually up 3.8%. A little bit better than expected.
Yes. Yes. We have investments coming. People are getting hired. Things are getting better. We think things are going to ramp up. This is what the American people need to hear. The normies need to hear. Let's stick with that. And let's take whatever this messaging is and let's fly over. I understand there's a huge volcanic explosion right now in Indonesia. Let's take this messaging and put it on a single piece of paper and let's take a flight over to Indonesia and fly right over the top of the active volcano and let's drop this messaging in there and never think about it ever again. This messaging Indonesia.
H-1B visa thing will not be a big priority for your administration, because if you want to raise wages for American workers, you can't flood the country with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of foreign workers.
You also do have to bring in talent.
We don't have certain talents and people have to learn.
You can't take people off an unemployment, like an unemployment line, and say, I'm going to put you into a factory where we're going to make missiles.
We don't have the talent. That needs to go to Indonesia. That's right into the volcano. Headline, Gen Z delaying home ownership, and it's affecting other life decisions. Life decisions like getting married, having kids. The average age of a homeowner continues to climb into the 50s. I just saw another stat that said it's flirting with 60 years old. I'm not at all blaming Donald Trump for that. All I'm asking for is that the White House understand that the midterms are coming, 2028 is coming, and normal people are struggling. They have seen prices go up. They have seen their standard of living go down. The jobs market is dreadful right now, especially for young college graduates, especially for them. The jobs market is bad. I saw another statistic. Well below half of college graduates have found employment at this time. You know what that is? That's not only an angry 25-year-old. That's an angry set of parents who just dropped $100,000 on a college education. That's right, Chris. They're talking to their friends. There is a large amount of dissatisfaction with life right now, well beyond political issues that you and I both care about, well beyond that. Kitchen table issues are not landing well for Americans right now. When Americans are sitting around with their neighbors, with their friends at church, having dinner at night, they are not swapping stories about how wonderful life is right now. They're complaining. They're complaining about the cost of life, the jobs market. And again, I'm not laying this at Trump's feet. I'm not laying the market. I'm not laying all this stuff at Trump's feet at all. I'm really genuinely not. But just like I screamed about when Joe Biden was president, you have got to be careful what you say to people when people are down and out and not making it. Joe Biden went with the line of the economy's great. You reporters just aren't reporting on it. That takes someone who's already down and kicks dirt in their face. It doesn't land well. Does not land well. And Democrats got creamed on that issue. Creamed because it doesn't land well. Don't tell people they have it good when they don't feel like they have it good. Don't tell people they're too stupid, so we need another 50,000 people from India to come into the country. Don't tell people H-1Bs are highly skilled, because they're not. Those are low-skilled workers. And definitely don't try to sell people on the lie that people who come over here on a visa turn around and go back home because they want to. The vast majority of illegals in this country are visa overstays. They get here, they get established here, and they never freaking leave. Now I will finally move on. Let's do some emails. Next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So I'm going to read you a story that's wonderful, but also aggravating. It's a story from the Associated Press. Remember, the Associated Press is a disgusting communist rag and has been for a long time. The headline is, migrants, love how they call them that, thought they were in court for a routine hearing. Instead, it was a deportation trap. And they even describe, look, there's a bunch of stories, but here's one. I love this one. Nearby, a Cuban man who had lived in the United States for years stepped from an elevator and into the courtroom where the government lawyer was waiting for what the man thought was a routine hearing. The man was doing what the law required and brought along his wife, a legal resident, and their 7-month-old infant. Oh. Then the lawyer quickly moved to have the man's asylum claim dismissed, and the judge agreed. making the man eligible for expedited removal. As he left the courtroom, the man was swarmed by plainclothes immigration agents who had been surveilling him. A struggle ensued, and the wife's shouts could be heard from the hallway as the lawyer moved on to the next case. So, before I get to the Trump portion of this, which is wonderful, actually, I'm going to pay him a big fat compliment after ranting and raving. It's aggravating beyond belief to me that our court system, our media, and apparently the entire world just thinks you should come here no matter what, and you should be able to stay here. This is the whole point of immigration hearings, to decide whether or not you can stay or have to go. But for so long, these hearings either didn't happen or they would have a hearing and just let them all stay. Now, the idea that you would decide he has to go is just horrifying to everybody in the country. Well, not you, but horrifying to the media, horrifying to the illegals who are here. What? What do you mean I have to leave? You're supposed to let everyone stay. The sense of entitlement everybody seems to have to reside in the United States of America drives me up the freaking wall. Yes, you're here illegally. No, your asylum claim is not valid. Goodbye. That's how it's supposed to work. Boom, hearing, gone. See ya. And another part of this, right, because they do deserve credit. As I've discussed, they are building a deportation machine that will take time, but they are working on it. Quote, over the past 9 months, the Trump administration has fired almost 90 immigration judges seen by Trump's allies as too lenient. They are cleaning out the immigration court system of all the filthy communists who are sitting there who allow all these people to come in and stay in. They are building the deportation machine, and I want to applaud them for it. And as I've mentioned, even though I'm going to get frustrated from time to time, as I just did, as long as I see the deportation machine being built and being used, the Trump administration is going to be all right in my book. I'm going to criticize when I get mad. That's always going to happen. If you don't like it, too bad, so sad, change the channel. But as long as they are committed to getting these foreigners en masse out of the country, I'm a supporter. I am. We have to work on some messaging things when you get up and tell people Americans are too stupid, we need more foreigners. That's bad. All right. Let's do some emails. We have to clear out some room. Tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Jesse, can you explain how murders don't stop after guns are gone in the UK? And how stabbings and machetes... I know what he's saying. We were going off about guns yesterday because we played that young communist woman who was talking about giving up your guns. And in response, whenever communists have tried to confiscate our guns here in America, the right has attempted to argue in good faith with them. Have you ever done this? You ever found yourself doing this? I've done it. I'm not pointing fingers. Meaning you start arguments like this. Well, they have gun laws in Chicago and they have all these murders. Clearly they don't work. Or you say something like this guy said. Well, no, they banned guns in the UK, but now people are just getting stabbed. Or you'll bring up logic. You'll bring up facts. And you know why you do that? Because you think you're dealing with someone who shares your value system, and you think you're dealing with someone who's being honest about what they want and what they believe. You think your liberal Aunt Peggy, you think she actually wants school shootings to stop, or that's her motivation. You think she actually wants people to stop being murdered, or that's her motivation. And if you just present her with enough logic, enough black and white facts, that she'll realize that what she wants actually doesn't help save the kids or doesn't help make the country safe. And eventually, if you use enough logic with her, she'll get it. The light will come on. Well, they have murders in the UK. But you don't understand what you're dealing with. She doesn't care about mass shootings. She doesn't get sad when there's another classroom full of dead kids. She doesn't get sad when she hears the murder statistics going up in this city or that state across the country. She does not sit and fret about this murder or that thing or that thing. That is not her motivation at all. She's very, very upset that the opponents of the revolution are armed. That's her motivation. That's her motivation. And you, I don't care how many statistics you bring her on guns, or the ban guns here, or they ban guns there and it didn't work. No matter how many statistics you've brought her, it's never worked, has it? Black and white facts. It doesn't work, does it? You know why it doesn't work? Because you're arguing with something she's not even really saying. She's lying. She's a communist. Communists lie about everything at all times. She doesn't care about the mass shooting. She cares about you being able to stop her from sending you to a gulag for not getting your 10th booster shot. That's what upsets her. The communist revolutionaries in the United States of America, that'd be Democrats, are fighting a revolution to burn your country down. The thing they have to have in order to complete this revolution, they have to disarm their political opponents. Every communist who's ever taken power has disarmed their political opponents first. For decades, well over 50 years, Democrats in this country have sought to find a way to disarm you. And it's not to stop murders. It's to stop you. That's what they're interested in, stopping you. And it's so hard to accept that. And because we don't understand that motivation, because we accept their lies at face value, we try to have an argument with them using this logic or these facts, but there's a reason it's never worked. I'll tell you something, it's going to blow you away. Your liberal Aunt Peggy knows gun laws don't work. She knows. She knows about the murder numbers in Chicago and all the other. She knows. She gets it. She understands completely. Your liberal Aunt Peggy, in the wake of the latest school shooting, she knows that a new gun law wouldn't have prevented him from getting it, but that you can bring all that. She knows. You're getting her motivation wrong. That's the problem. You're correct in your arguments. What you're not understanding is your opponent. Liberal Aunt Peggy wants to hurt you, or she at least wants the freedom to hurt you if you don't do what you're told. Your gun prevents her from doing that. They will always be after your guns for that reason and that reason alone. All right? Now, I want you to do something that's going to make you feel good. I want you to picture this. Picture this moment. It's Christmas morning. You're there with your father, your mother. They have this wee little gift. It's small. They unwrap it. It's from you. And it's a thumb drive? What's on the thumb drive? You plug it into the family television set, and mom, dad, they're watching their wedding video that used to be on a VHS tape on the big screen. How do you think that's going to go over Christmas morning? A baby album. Those pictures on the thumb drive. That's what Legacy Box does. And Legacy Box will get you your thumb drive back by Christmas if you get it to them soon. Tis the season. Their Black Friday special is on now. $9 a tape. We're talking hard copy pictures, VHS tapes, film reels, all kinds of things. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. Get them digitized now. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Remember, you need to get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in for tomorrow. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Ask me anything. It's going to be fun, as it always is. So we're going to get to what Sean Duffy had to say about air travel and how people dress and stuff like that. But I thought maybe it would be a good time to take a little bit of a break. Just a little brief break. Because I realize we have all these new stations and new ears, new listeners. And we're on Sirius XM now on the Megyn Kelly channel, which is amazing. So we're The show's growing, which is really weird. I have no idea what's wrong with you. Why don't you have any? Anyway, the show's growing. And I got this email, and honestly, it made me laugh. Dear Emperor of Robes, my wife and I used the Jesse promo code to officially become Pure Talk users for life. You aren't kidding. It was so easy and nice to talk to them and sign up. Nice. I love that. Now that we are Pure Talkers, my sound request is you telling your son's dead fish story again. It always makes me cry laughing. You can say my wife's in her name, or him and his wife's name, Heidi and Brad. All right. So here it is. I've told this story a few times before. When my boys were younger, I do not remember the ages they were. I would guess we're talking 4 and 6, 5 and 7, somewhere in there. They were younger. They wanted a pet terribly, like boys do. My oldest son, James, at that time had a pet hair allergy. He's kind of over it. He has it a little bit, but he had a pet hair allergy where it hives and make his eyes swell up. Nothing horrible, but you're not going to get a dog. So we decided we were going to get them fish. We were going to get them fish. They each got a fish. Betas is what they were called. These look like goldfish to me, but they were betas. We get them fish at the pet store. They're very excited. They had to name their fish, okay? They had to name their fish. They choose, well, my youngest, Luke, he wanted to name his fish Butt Snake because boys are insanely immature and anything that has the word butt in it they find hilarious. Ob and I expressly forbid him from naming his fish Butt Snake, so instead he named his fish Buttery. That is an important part of the story to remember. Buttery is the name of the fish, all right? Buttery, that's the name. Now, fast forward. My oldest son, who actually took great care of his fish, it died on him in 3 weeks. All right, that's the way life goes. We've all had to bury a dog, bury a cat. That's the way it goes. My youngest son, who had Buttery, Luke, he never took care of his fish. He always forgot to feed it. I think that fish ate like once a week. And the dadcon thing would not die. It was like Rasputin. We were waiting. Ob and I were dying for the fish to die. We wanted the fish to die because we actually had a trip coming up. We were going back to Ohio for Christmas. That's where her family is, actually, and lots of my family. We were going back there for Christmas time, and we didn't want to have to pay somebody to come over to the house and feed the stupid friggin' fish that the kid doesn't even care about. But the dadcon fish won't die. He doesn't care about it. He doesn't feed it. And this thing is a warrior. Okay. I was selling RVs at the time, and I could not take that much time off of work because you got to sell to eat. That's the bottom line. I had to pay bills. Ob is leaving before me with the kids, a couple days before me, and we talk. And we decide, hey, once I leave, now Ob and I had this discussion together. Once she leaves, I'm going to flush the fish down the toilet. We'll tell him he died. I'm going to flush the fish down the toilet. Ob agrees to this, okay? She takes off. I flush the fish right before I take off. I gave him another couple days. I even fed him. And then I sent him out to the ocean or wherever those pipes lead. I don't know. I watched Finding Nemo. Flushed him down the toilet. No big deal. Go back to Ohio for Christmas. Come back home. We are home for 24 to 48 hours. And that's an important thing to understand, too. It's not like he went running in the house looking for his fish. He finally notices his fish is gone. He says, "Where's my fish?" And I said, "Buddy, I flushed him down the toilet. The fish is gone. I just gave it to him right between the eyes." He's looking at me, and he sees Ob looking at him. She's very clearly trying to decide, how's he going to handle this? He takes a long time. And then he starts breaking down crying. She immediately starts glaring at me as if it's all my fault. He runs and jumps into her arms and starts sobbing on her chest. She's glaring daggers at me from across the room. And I said, "Up, he's lying. This is a put on. He's manipulating you." And he stops for a second. She can't see him and kind of gives me this look.
like he's afraid because he knows I found him out. But then he goes back to crying louder. He actually turns the volume up. And she said, no, he loved that fish. And I said, really? Hey, Luke, what was the fish's name? He freezes again in fear. And his mind starts churning. I ask him again, Luke, what was the fish's name? And he's sobbing, fake sobbing. And he goes, Swimmy. He didn't even know the name of the fish that I flushed down the toilet. He cried so hard in her chest. We were at PetSmart that day buying them a lizard. It was a bearded dragon, which again, they didn't take care of. So we had to give it away eventually to somebody who actually wanted to feed it and take it out of the thing and whatnot. What, Chris? What am I on now? No, it's just Fred. No, there's nothing else. There's just, oh, and James has a snake, but James is the responsible one. James takes care of his snake. He takes it out. He feeds it. He cleans it up. James is fine. Swimmy. So that's the story of the fish. Okay. I flushed the fish down the toilet. All right, there. And I'm happy that you're happy with Pure Talk. Remember this. Remember, Pure Talk has a special right now that I have never, ever seen before. Please remember this. $29.95. I think, don't quote me on this, I think that plan is normally something like $60 a month. $29.95. It's $65 a month? Chris thinks it's $65 a month. $29.95 a month for life. It's their huge Black Friday Christmas special they're doing. I've never seen it. They didn't do it last year. Switch to Pure Talk. Now's the time. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. You will get to speak to a pleasant American because Pure Talk doesn't bring in legions of foreigners. They know Americans are capable. #250 and say Jesse Kelly. All right? All right. So there's a couple things we're going to go over next hour. I'm going to get to some emails at some point in time, but we're going to talk about these SNAP funds, basically welfare. We're going to talk about the human trafficking that was enabled by the Biden administration, astronauts, the people fired in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, all that, so much more coming up in the next hour. But first, before we do that, we're going to talk about air travel because Sean Duffy, Secretary of Transportation, said something.